Welcome back to the Back in Five podcast. My name is Sean Clark, and I'm joined with Pastor Paul Jordan. We are currently in a sermon series. It's a four-week series on the Song of Solomon. And this last week, we just finished up the third week of Song of Solomon. And your series title, or actually the sermon title was, Whatever Happened to Happily Ever After. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And so kind of an intriguing title because obviously marriage and romance, you know, is sometimes it's not all that we think it's cracked up to be, you know, and there's a lot of deception and attack from the enemy. So kind of talk us through your sermon. What were some of the things that you pointed out and you highlighted in your sermon this last week?
Sure. The reality of married life is that the first four chapters of Song of Solomon deal with just the excitement, the ecstasy of engagement, the wedding night, and then all of a sudden we find out what real life is like. And there's in chapter 5, between verse 1 and verse 2, there's a change. He never refers to her as a bride any longer, and that's because there's a gap of time. Hmm. And so what we see is that the marriage goes from the phases that I brought out were the delight, that's being the honeymoon stage, then disillusionment, because he comes home late at night one night, he knocks on the door, and she basically says, hey, I've turned in for the night, I'm ready to go to bed. So we see the reality of what marriage is like, and I think that's part of life, and that's what we see in God's Word.
Right, yeah, and I think that's one of the things, I mean, obviously, we referred to this the last few weeks. We've done wedding counseling. Obviously, you've done a lot more premarital counseling than I've done with some couples, and just thinking about like, your marriage is going to take work. A lot of times we pursue so hard in the dating relationship, and then once marriage comes along, it's like, oh, well, we got the person, you know? And that's kind of where the rubber meets the road, because in the marriage and over the passing of time, it's like you need to continue to work on that relationship. And inevitably, there's going to be hard things and difficult things that the couple is going to have to go through. So, yeah, so you're moving past the honeymoon stage into the passing of time, and then what else are you talking about?
Well, what's so encouraging is that you move from disillusionment, and I added the stage of despair, and that's where couples really sort of give up. Hey, who did I marry? And this is, you know, many times is, you know, a number of months, maybe a year into it, and you can sort of think, hey, we really see the reality of the person that we married. But the thing that's so exciting is that half the book is dealing with, from chapters 5 through 8, is what married life is like. And you still see that closeness. You still see that adoration. You still see that desire for one another. And so that's so encouraging because that gives us all hope. And then what we're going to see this next week will be that God is the source of our love. And so that as we draw from God, we realize that he can give us that love for each other. So there's a hope. There is that idea that we can encourage and draw close to each other, that that's what gives us hope in our relationship.
Right. And I think one of the most hope-giving elements of a marriage relationship is the concept of practicing forgiveness. You talked about that. Kind of talk us through those points.
Sure. What we did was we really sort of centered the service and the message around the idea that there are stages of conflict, and we mentioned three stages, and real quickly they were both parties feel offended, and that's where they sort of withdraw from each other. Then the recognition of conflict, where they say, hey, there's a problem here, we need to work through this, but then there has to be a desire for resolution. And as they have that, then they sort of changes to conflict resolution in a relationship, and that's where it shifts then to reestablishing communication with each other, and then forgiveness comes in. And that's what I tried to emphasize, is that that's when we forgive. And I especially emphasize that we forgive before the person comes. Many times couples expect the person says, hey, when you come back and you apologize, then I'll forgive you. But we have to initiate. I think we as men have to especially take on that initiative.
Yeah, and that's what obviously Christ did for us. You know, even when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Like, he offered us that eternal life before we even pursued him.
Well, what's interesting, though, I think, is that in marriage, because it's such an intimate relationship, many times those are the last people that we really seek to forgive, or we are really expecting them to come to us, our wife, our husband.
Yeah.
And so we are to, you know, like we know, we're as husbands, we're to love our wives as Christ loved the church, and we're to give ourselves sacrificially, and that really centers around the idea of forgiveness.
Right, yeah. I think that's so true. It's like so often we put our best foot forward for everybody else, and because we've already gotten our spouse, you know, so I think, you know, having that adoration and respect and love for our spouse and, you know, highlighting on forgiveness is so critical and important for a marriage relationship.
Right. And then I think we ended chapter six ends with the idea that there is joy, and there is that joy as the couple comes together and experiences joy. The thing was that he actually accepted her back into his presence without expecting her to apologize, and he just again expresses his adoration for her, and then it talks about the joy that they had together. And so you just see that that you know, couples, and I think I emphasize the fact that as we go through conflict, it can actually draw a couple closer together, and that actually can strengthen the relationship, though they have to work through it in a constructive fashion.
Yeah, well, that's good stuff. It's good stuff to review, and there's hope in that that God can use even those trials and adversities in our marriage relationships to draw us closer. What a great God we have.
So true. And again, I think what I emphasized at the end was that, you know, every relationship will have conflict, but we need to resolve it in a godly fashion, a Christ-like fashion.
Very good. We'll see you this next Sunday.